Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, March the 30th. And welcome to our commentary. I hope that everybody's having a good Easter weekend and that you're getting ready for Easter Sunday and you're going to put on something fashionable. Maybe your wife is going to wear a hat or something like that. Easter Sunday, of course, is a great day to celebrate. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful time with your friends and with your family. Well, I want to begin today talking about Easter Sunday because the Biden administration did something that when I first heard the story that they had designated Easter Sunday, or I guess March 31st, as transgender whatever day, at first I thought it was a joke. I really did. I thought it was an April Fool's Day joke, you know, in advance, a couple of days in advance. But it's not. It is true. The Biden administration issued a proclamation today declaring March 31st, which happens to be Easter Sunday, as transgender whatever day. And that is really an insult to millions of Christians, not just here, but around the world, who identify something else with Easter Sunday. I mean, the White House could have waited a couple of days. They could have waited sometime next week. They could have, you know, let's say delayed the proclamation for a few days. But to do it on Easter Sunday, I think it's a real attack and a real insult on Christians and specifically Catholics. I am Catholic and I'm very offended by what the White House did, especially given the fact that Joe Biden has been touting his Catholicism for years. I mean, he's always been Joe Catholic who walks around with a rosary. Well, I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know how you do that, frankly, and become the most pro-abortion president in the history of the country. And now signing a proclamation like this, you would think that somebody at the White House would have said, you know what, why don't we wait a couple of days for that proclamation? Maybe we can do it Monday or Tuesday. But let's not do it on Easter Sunday. That might be offensive to a lot of Americans. No, they didn't. They went for it. And it is. I have a post coming out about this where I ask a very simple question. And that is Joe Biden a fraud? Is he a farce? Or is somebody else just putting stuff in front of him that he signs or reads? I don't know the answer, okay? But for a man like Joe Biden to pretend that he is this great devout Catholic and then do something like this on Easter Sunday. Okay, it's, I think, a real mocking and mockery of Easter Sunday. And I hope that every Christian out there understands that. This is not a Christian-friendly White House. I'll just put it that way. This is not a Catholic-friendly White House. I'll put it that way. This is a White House that, frankly, goes out of his way to attack those traditional values that we have. Now, I've said many times that, look, transgender people need our help. In many cases, they have emotional issues. And homosexuality, well, I don't believe in it. I've accepted it. And if you want to be that way, that's your decision. So I'm not going to, you know, tell you what to do. But please don't use Easter Sunday as a day to declare Transgender Day. I'm sorry. That is simply way over the top and an insult to millions and millions of Christians in the United States. By the way, former President Trump has already called on the White House to apologize, and I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did, and I hope the people in the press will ask President Biden some questions about this. He needs to explain this. He signed it. He needs to explain what he was thinking, and frankly, many times he doesn't think because they're just putting stuff in front of him. And that's pretty scary. Maybe you had an opportunity to see a little bit of this funeral in New York. The police officer who was shot a couple of days by a couple of people who had a criminal sheet pages long. I mean, these two people should have never been on the street, but they are. They're out on the street because of the district attorneys like the ones they have in New York and in other cities who somehow, you know, they don't mind putting these people out in the streets and causing police officers to get killed that way and citizens to be killed this way. And she spoke at the funeral and had some very rough words, tough words for the political class, telling them that it's time to start protecting the police. And that's exactly right. And I don't know if her words are going to be heard or listened to by the political class in New York, but New York is falling apart as a city, and is falling apart as a city because it's an impossible place to do business, and at the same time, because of all this criminality. Now, there is an interesting consequence of all of this, and I was listening to a commentator the other day saying that this, you know, collapse of New York may open up the door for Lee Zeldin to be Donald Trump's vice president. Lee Zeldin was a longtime congressman there in New York. He ran for governor a couple of years ago, actually did very well, came within 3 or 4 points of defeating the incumbent or the current governor, by the way, who's a waste of time. Man, what a waste of time she is as the governor. She just, again, I think she just follows the crowd. There's no leadership in that woman. But Lee Zeldin, I think, would make an excellent vice president for Donald Trump. I've said it before, but anyway, that young woman, young widow who spoke today about her husband being shot, her message was very strong, and I was very proud of her for speaking in a difficult situation like that. They have a little one-year-old boy, and that little boy is going to grow up without his father because of the way that the people, the city of New York, is not enforcing its laws, and it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy what's happening in New York, and the safety of every New Yorker is the consequence of this approach that they have to criminal justice. It's time for New York to start locking up some criminals. And if you've got a rap sheet, you know, 20 pages long, you shouldn't be in the streets. And if they have to build more jails, well, build them. But I'd rather have these people inside a jail than out in the streets threatening the police and threatening citizens as well. Look what's happening in the subways of New York. That's absolutely crazy. People are being attacked in the subways. They're being thrown into the tracks. I mean, what kind of a city is that? Well, this is what happens when you have a breakdown in law and order. This is exactly what's happening, what you're seeing currently in New York. So again, my sympathies to this young widow and that little baby. And I know that a lot of people are going to support her and they're going to support that little baby, but it's tough to grow up without a father. It's very tough to grow up without a father. And that little baby will have to do that because, again, of the indifference of the district attorneys and the authorities in the city of New York to crack down on the criminals who are running around that city and causing a lot of harm, not just to the police, but to the citizens who take the subways and live in that what used to be a great city has just been destroyed by all this collapse and law and order. Well, Secretary of Mayorkas was down in Guatemala. I guess he may still be down there in Guatemala, and he was giving a speech or talking, and he took a shot at Texas, the SB4 law that passed by our legislature and signed by the governor. He took a shot at this law, and I think that's a bad idea. When you're a cabinet member and you're traveling to another country, you shouldn't take shots at governors or legislatures and states. That's not what you do. You go overseas and you try to, you know, you're representing the United States, but don't take shots overseas at what we do internally. You can always criticize internally what's happening in Texas, but I don't think it's a good idea. You know, there was that old expression that our politics ended at the water's edge, or whatever the expression was. That's the way it should be. And Secretary Mayorkas, who was impeached by the House, by the way, and the Senate has not taken up the impeachment. They have to eventually, I guess. I guess they don't want to talk about the border. That's probably why they're not taking it up. But man, what a disgrace he's been. What a disaster of a secretary he's been. That entire Biden policy on the border is an absolute disaster. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker Saturday morning talking about, you know, Rona McDaniel, you know, the lady who was hired by NBC. She was, I guess, the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, and then she resigned or whatever. She was offered a job by NBC. People at NBC had a fit, and they said that they were not going to accept her, that she didn't fit into their standards, and eventually she got fired. They say at NBC that she was an election denier. I mean, this is kind of crazy. all of those people at the round table there at NBC were election deniers with respect to Trump. So, you know, what are they doing? I think the real loser of this whole experience, honestly, is NBC itself, because they have shown their face. They've taken off their mask. And I think what you're going to see is a lot of Republicans are not going to go to those shows. And you're going to see also a loss of business. You cannot write off half of the country without consequences. You know, we live in a country very polarized, and the news agencies are going to have to figure out some way of presenting both sides. And just because you don't like Trump, that doesn't mean that you take out Ronan McDaniel. So I think it was a huge mistake on the part of NBC. Let me finish tonight with a couple of words about former Senator Joe Lieberman, who passed away a couple of days ago. Apparently he fell down, and that's led to his untimely death. He was 82 years old. I always loved Joe Lieberman. I always thought he was a very serious senator. And certainly when it came to national security, I thought he was one of the best senators that we had in the U.S. Senate, a man who really understood the importance of having a strong military and a strong posture around the world. So I'm very sorry to hear that Senator Joe Lieberman passed away suddenly. And my best wishes, of course, to his widow. And I, you know, when you see a guy like Joe Lieberman pass away or move on, you know, he's almost like a Democrat from the past. They don't make Democrats like Joe Lieberman anymore. They really don't. Not just in his personality, but I mean in his thoughts about national security and his overall love of the country, which is what really stood out with Joe Lieberman. So rest in peace, Joe Lieberman. You did a great job down here, and I think we're going to miss you a heck of a lot. Thank you for listening. I hope everybody's having a good Easter weekend, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.